Good morning. Welcome to another Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church, and I hope you're doing well. We are coming to Genesis chapter 19 here on day 29 of our three-year journey through God's Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, gracious God and King, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you that you are the one who is with us always and who saves us from the world and from our own sinful flesh and from Satan and from eternal condemnation. We're thankful for your word, and we ask that you speak to us through it. And would you write Genesis 19 on our hearts in a way that draws us closer to Jesus? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 19 in the ESV. The two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them and bowed himself with his face to the earth and said, "My lords, please turn aside to your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise up early and go on your way." They said, "No, we will spend the night in the town square." But he pressed them strongly, so they turned aside to him and entered his house. And he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. But before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both young and old, all the people to the last man surrounded the house, and they called to Lot, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them." Lot went out to the men at the entrance, shut the door after him, and said, "I beg you, my brothers, do not act so wickedly. Behold, I have two daughters who have not known any man. Let me bring them out to you, and do to them as you please. Only do nothing to these men, for they have come under the shelter of my roof." But they said, "Stand back." And they said, "This fellow came to sojourn, and he has become the judge. Now we will deal worse with you than with them." Then they pressed hard against the man Lot and drew near to break the door down. But the men reached out their hands and brought Lot into the house with them and shut the door. And they struck with blindness the men who were at the entrance to the house, both small and great, so that they wore themselves out, groping for the door. Then the men said to Lot, "Have you anyone else here, sons-in-law, sons, daughters, or anyone you have in the city? Bring them out of the place, for we are about to destroy this place, because the outcry against its people has become great before the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." So Lot went out and said to his sons-in-law, who were to marry his daughters, "Up, get out of this place, for the Lord is about to destroy the city." But he seemed to his sons-in-law to be jesting. As morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, "Up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be swept away in the punishment of the city." But he lingered. So the men seized him and his wife and his two daughters by the hand, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. And as they brought him out, one said, "Escape for your life. Do not look back or stop anywhere in the valley. Escape to the hills, lest you be swept away." And Lot said to them, "Oh no, my lords. Behold, your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have shown me great kindness in saving my life, but I cannot escape to the hills, lest the disaster overtake me and I die. Behold, this city is near enough to flee to, and it is a little one. Let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my life will be saved." He said to him, "Behold, I grant you this favor also, that I will not overthrow the city of which you have spoken. Escape there quickly, for I can do nothing until you arrive there." Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun had risen on the earth when Lot came to Zoar. Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah, sulfur and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the valley and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. But Lot's wife behind him looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord, and he looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the valley. And he looked, and behold, the smoke of the land went up like the smoke of a furnace. So it was that when God destroyed the cities of the valley, God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had lived. Now Lot went up out of Zoar and lived in the hills with his two daughters, for he was afraid to live in Zoar. So he lived in a cave with his two daughters. And the firstborn said to the younger, "Our father is old, and there is not a man on earth to come into us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him that we may preserve offspring from our father." So they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father. He did not know when she lay down or when she arose. The next day the firstborn said to the younger, "Behold, I lay last night with my father. Let us make him drink wine tonight also, then you go in and lie with him, that we may preserve offspring from our father." So they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. Thus both the daughters of Lot became pregnant by their father. The firstborn bore a son and called his name Moab. He's the father of the Moabites to this day. The younger also bore a son and called his name Ben-Ammi. He is the father of the Ammonites to this day. What a sad, sad story of Lot. God was certainly merciful to him. God spared his life. He was the one righteous man in the city. And we know that very clearly because Genesis 19 tells us that all of the men of the city of Sodom, both young and old, all the people to the last man, surrounded the house in verse 4. So it's very, very explicitly clear that every single other male within the city was wicked. Did that include Lot's sons-in-law who were to marry his daughters? I mean, it would appear so. It did say all the people to the last man. These sons-in-law, because they had not yet married his daughters, I don't know that they would have been staying in Lot's house, but it's possible that they were inside Lot's house and they weren't part of this crowd. But they certainly were not righteous men because they laughed at the judgment of God that was coming. And at the very least, even if they weren't participating with the crowd, they knew what the crowd was doing the night before. And they still laughed at the thought of the judgment of God. Not only did the sons-in-law laugh, but Lot himself lingered. Even after all that had happened, I mean, he had seen these angels blind the men who were coming to the door, and he had heard their urgent pleading, "Up, take your wife and your two daughters who are with you here, lest you be swept away in the punishment of the city." But he lingered. Lot lingered in Sodom, and then he wanted to go to Zoar, which probably wasn't much better of a city, but it was smaller. So he said it's just a small city. But Lot has just become so at home in the world. He's a righteous man who knows the Lord, but who has become comfortably complacent with the world, callous to great evil and wickedness. Can you imagine living in such a city as Sodom? Horrible wickedness. Even no place, no city, no town, no culture today has this level of sexual immorality at work that we know of. I've heard some people jokingly say, you know, America needs to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. I don't think so. Like, you know, I live in a pretty nice neighborhood here in America, and we don't really see scenes like what's happening in Sodom happen, thankfully. And probably because there are more than one righteous person in our country. But what do we see of Christ here? We see of Christ this intervention of the angels on behalf of Sodom. that he blinds, the angel blinds the men by the door so that they cannot get to Lot and his family. And then even when Lot lingers and hesitates, the angels save them. They absolutely save them. You know, when we come to salvation in Christ, the Bible tells us that we're dead in our sins and trespasses. We're lingering in our iniquity. We're lingering in the world and its wickedness, not seeing how evil it is, because the world truly is evil. And yet Christ redeems us. He brings us from death to life. He brings us from darkness to light. He brings us out of the city of destruction and puts us on the road toward the celestial city, to use the language of Pilgrim's Progress. And so we see in these angels and in their actions toward Lot, the intercession of Christ intervening for us and defending us from our enemies, and also the salvation of Christ in taking us out of sin and condemnation. But we see one more picture, and that is at the very end of this passage, with this very deeply disturbing scene of Lot and his daughters. We do have one little hint here, in that the firstborn daughter bore a son and called his name Moab. He is the father of the Moabites to this day. And the Moabites, well, that's Ruth's people. Ruth was a Moabitess many generations down the line. And she, of course, is a faithful, godly woman who ends up marrying Boaz, and they are the great-grandparents of David, and they're in the ancestral line of Christ. So we also see here that even in the midst of such horrible sin, terrible wickedness, God is still preserving the line of promise. God is still preserving his covenant, because God's desire to have mercy on his people, God's plan to save his people, is stronger than all of the world's wickedness, and that is Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Jesus, our salvation, who is mightier than the fallenness of the world, who is stronger than the strength of our own sin, who is mighty to save. Help us to follow after Jesus and trust in him. Help us not to linger complacent in the world, but to follow after you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, tomorrow we will continue in Genesis. We'll be in Genesis chapter 20. I hope you can join us for that. Have a blessed day in the Lord.